and welcome to Where the Books Are Now, a podcast about Vermont's public libraries. I'm your host, Nancy Tuzinski, a retired librarian and bookseller. On each episode of Where the Books Are Now, I'll talk with staff from one public library in Vermont about fun and helpful collections and services that you may not know about, a little about the history of the library, and of course, books. Today, I'll be talking with Jenny Rosicki, Library Director at the John G. McCullough Library, Free Library, in North Bennington, Vermont. So let's get started. Hello, Jenny. Thank you for taking time to talk about your library today with me.
Hey, Nancy. It's good to be here. And thanks for the invite. I'm, just pleased to help bring you up to date on everything that's happening here in North Bennington.
Wonderful. So I'd like to get started. Each episode, we start by asking a little bit about the history of the library. Could you tell us a little bit about the history of the McCullough Library?
Absolutely. So the McCullough Library will be, 103 years old, the building that is. 103 years old. But before that, the library, and I love this little detail, it was the Ladies' Lending Library in North Bennington. And for a while, it was housed above what is now a small engine and lawnmower repair shop. But it was also housed, sort of, it made the rounds. It was in the houses of the people. So you had to go visit your neighbor to go borrow a book. And I find that kind of charming. But 103 years ago, the plot of land that the library sits on was a three-story boot and shoe factory. They made a lot of things in North Bennington, and really high-quality boots and shoes were among them. And one day, the boot and shoe factory burned and just collapsed in on itself. And Lizzie McCullough, who was the wife of John G., purchased this plot of land and had a library built here in memory of her husband, who had been the governor of Vermont. I know they founded the sports complex up at Middlebury, if I'm not mistaken, the McCullough building there. It's the same family. If you're ever in North Bennington, the McCullough family house is here. And that's a lovely Victorian mansion and carriage barn. And that's just up the street. And there's a portrait hanging in the library of John G. that was painted by their daughter, who became an Anglican nun. So it's just a really interesting giant oil portrait of a daughter painting her father. And there's also a portrait of Lizzie as well. So it's kind of lovely. We're about 5,000 square feet on two floors. It's a brick and mortar and giant tall windows kind of building. It's a real gem. The architect was the same architect who designed the cathedral in New York. So I think St. Patrick's. And yeah, it's quite a thing, sort of a little architectural marvel and gem here in the heart of North Bennington. And in terms of location, we couldn't ask for a better spot. You know, it's right in the heart of the community here. So yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
Oh, wonderful. Makes it so easy for folks to get to the library. What a rich and wonderful history your library has.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's easy to love. You know, it's a darling building. The collection is very solid. And I think my team and I have a good, solid approach to service.
Wonderful. So speaking about collections and services and things like that, I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about, and the listeners, a little bit about some things that the McCullough Library offers to its patrons and the
goodness.
Community.
Yeah. Well, we have, and it's a surprisingly large collection. It always astounds me. I did not grow up in New York, in Vermont. I grew up in New York. And spent some time in Rhode Island as well. And it always amazes me that the McCullough Library's collection and sort of organizational capacity, we're solidly mid-sized for a Vermont library. And that just boggles my mind because we seem so small. But I tell folks it's a little like this library is a little like the TARDIS, you know, we're bigger on the inside. And you know, the biggest little library that could. And I think we have a pretty hip collection. We have some really savvy and dedicated readers here. And so the collection reflects that. So I'd recommend it. We have some really interesting folks, and sort of my approach is very responsive rather than prescriptive. So I try to say yes as much as I can to requests for purchase, for new items, and it really sort of reflects the interests of the community. Let's see. So we also have a tool library that's in development. And some of that you can borrow right now, like snowshoes and board games and fishing poles. Like there
Oh.
are things that you can borrow at the library here. Our museum passes, we have a really pretty dynamic collection of museum and attraction passes, and those are among our most popular items. Let's see. What other stuff can people check out at the
What is
library?
your
Well,
most sorry, what is your most popular pass that you have that folks want to take out?
Mass Mocha. Everybody wants to go to Mass Mocha. And, you know, I've been there, gosh, 6 or 7 times, and you never see all of it. It's enormous. So, and I think short, like right after that is the Clark. So folks want to go down to Massachusetts and look at art. That's what I take away from that. And it's a fabulous day trip. Other things that we have are a meeting room. So this was in 2022 and 2023. We were under construction. And we, through a very generous gift, were able to convert what was a closet full of broken furniture into and weird like vintage library accoutrement. Like it was just, you want all the stamps? We have all the stamps ever. I don't know why they weren't sort of discarded, but so now it's a meeting room and laptop bar. So you can stop by and borrow the room if you need to for up to 6 people.
Oh,
So we
great.
have a space where you can meet or get some like quiet private work done.
That's wonderful.
The gorgeous little spot. And I remember the first time I looked at that closet and I was like, this is a giant closet or a small meeting room. And you can fit 6 people in there around a
Oh,
table.
that's
So,
great.
and let's see, other unique things that you can borrow. Well, our digital services are really becoming increasingly central to our collection and our offerings. You know, Canopy for video streaming. We have Libby for ebooks and digital audiobooks. And we're planning to bring Xenio on, which is unlimited access to over 3,000 magazines and their back catalog through Libby.
Oh,
So
wonderful.
I know, I can't wait. If you use a tablet, it's gorgeous. And you
That's
still,
exciting.
I tell folks it's like everything but the perfume sample. It's like, you can just, it's that sensation of tabbing through a magazine, and it's full color and it's just beautiful. So I can't wait for that. I think that's going to be very popular.
Oh, that's exciting. I also saw on your website that there are library community gardens.
Yes. Okay. So this is a library resource that not everybody knows about. But a few years back, there were these giant bushes all around the library, like huge. And we couldn't see the foundation, which is a glorious marble foundation. It just absolutely gleams. But these big bushes were in front of it and sort of preventing us from assessing the condition of the foundation. Which thankfully was in fabulous shape. But we took out the bushes, and thanks to a partnership with the University of Vermont Extension Master Gardener Program, the Master Gardener candidates and other volunteers, anybody who wants to, can come right in and garden away. It's an herb and pollinator garden, and you can help yourself. So if you need a little rosemary, you need a little thyme, you need some sage. Oh God, the sage. There was so much sage. But it's
So, if you
also,
need sa sage, head to the McCullough Library in North Bennington.
yes. Yeah, I think we still, it's been a really warm winter. I think we still have some that's sort of growing, which is disturbing, but you can still get sage. So there, and that is the general rule is take a little, leave a lot. So we may not have enough for a batch of pesto, but if you need a few leaves for your pizza, go ahead for it. Like, and it's just such a, and also the pollinator gardens. You know, I love seeing the butterflies and the bees and the hummingbird moths and everything else that comes, and just they're just crawling all over the creeping thyme and the bee balm and all of that. So, you know, it's busy here in a different way, and we're just doing what we can to help the bees. So, and we have milkweed for the monarchs, and we just, you know, just trying to, the volunteers do a top-notch job. They are really great gardeners, and I'm so pleased that they're choosing to use their time to benefit the library, the bees, people in our community. I think everybody wins.
Oh, how wonderful. And how wonderful for the kids to see that too.
Yeah. Yep. We've
That's
done a number of, programs with the UVM volunteers, just sort of here's how to use and preserve, you know, herbs. What do we call it? It was Pestopalooza or something like that. It was, you know, like how to use all this stuff. And it was a lot of fun. And it just seems to me that that's a good parallel to how libraries should be. You take a, you know, you take a little, you leave a lot, you borrow what you can, you volunteer when you can. And it's much more interactive and pleasing, I guess, than some sort of inert moat-like bushes. It just sort of, it's more inviting. And that's, you know, there are painted rocks that kids have made all around it. And I think that's really the spirit of what we're trying to get done. You
Oh,
know, that
that's
sort
just
of, let's
beautiful.
interact, let's enjoy these things together, let's share this resource and understand that we're sharing it.
So alive. It sounds like such an alive library.
We are busy. And that's been sort of the story I started here about this is the beginning of my 8th year, and watching this place absolutely blossom and thrive, despite a lot of challenges, and we got through them. And you know, the pandemic, organizational capacity, all sorts of things, and just to see the people pouring back in has been really, really rewarding. And I'm glad that people are making use of what we have here.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. And thank you for all that. And of course, if folks want to explore, they can drive to your library or they can visit online. And there's lots of resources I noticed on your website, which is the I have it here someplace, mcculloughlibrary.org, right, to get to your website for more information about that.
Our
And
website coordinator does a great job.
it's a
So, yeah.
beautiful website and very easy to navigate. I found it really easy to navigate.
I'll let her know.
So we wrap up each episode with a few book recommendations. And so I was wondering, Jenny, if you had a couple of books you might want to talk about or recommend?
My goodness. Okay. So, is this of all time, or are we talking recents?
It can be whatever you'd like, especially if it's a book that doesn't get such a big spotlight, shined on it. It may not be in the top three of the New York Times bestseller list, but it's a really fun or good read.
Aw, well, I would have to say that I have a really special place in my heart for satire. I really like fantasy. I really like I like to laugh just a little bit and have my heart and mind tickled by like, have you considered? So I really enjoy one book that's a few years old that I really enjoy. Is Re Reincarnation Blues by Michael Poore, Poore, and it is lovely. It's about this guy, I think his name's Milo, and he just keeps getting reincarnated, and he really just likes the trip. And he the cat ladies who run the universe are a little frustrated with him because he's supposed to get a move on and ascend to sort of a higher plane of being, but he really just likes being here, and he's dating an incarnation of death. So the only time they ever get to hang out is between lifetimes. And it's wild, it's so sweet. It has such a big heart. And I chuckled a lot. And it's lifetimes. So there's pain, there's joy, there's all sorts of things, but you're following the same character through all that. So Reincarnation Blues is really fun.
I'm going to put that one on my list because I'm not familiar with that book. So I was
Lovely.
writing that down as you were talking.
Oh, and I think the graphic novel series Saga is also really, I think it's fantastic. The characters are so fierce and so themselves. So if you wish Star Wars had a little more magic and was just a little more wild and a few fewer human characters, but it's about family, it's about loss, it's about love, it's about lust, it's all sorts of things, and I love it. And I probably two others that I'll rattle off quickly are
Sure.
Becky Chambers, so The Galaxy and the Ground Within, or oh, I'm sorry, it was the first one in that series is a The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet and a Closed in Common Orbit, The Galaxy and the Ground Within. It's just a fabulous series. It's a future that feels very real, but again has a huge heart. And Tamsin Muir's Gideon the Ninth, the Locked Tomb trilogy. My goodness, I'm so glad I met Gideon. She is wild. And there's such humor in that series. So those are my recommendations,
Cool.
if you're into that stuff. And I think
Awesome.
they're also a good introduction to that genre or that style of writing for folks who want to dip a toe in.
I read the Becky Chambers robot series.
Oh, those are so sweet.
They're
Again.
so lovely, and it was sort of my first foray into that genre, and just lovely. So I haven't explored her other books yet, but again, you've given me a little push, gentle nudge to do so. So,
They're fabulous.
wonderful. And I have just a couple of books to talk about. One of them, actually, I had to talk about this one, even though I just started reading it, because I got it from the McCullough Library. And I just went and picked it up. It's the Springfield Library a few days ago. And it is Emily Wilde's Encyclopedia of Fairies by Heather Fawcett. And I understand that book two in this series has just come out. I just started reading this, and I'm a person who loves a good cozy mystery. And this is sort of like a cozy fantasy. I guess that's how I would categorize it. To Emily's a Cambridge professor who specializes in the study of fairies, and she heads north to a small Scandinavian village The villagers aren't too pleased to see her, so she doesn't get a big welcome. And then soon after, her colleague Wendell, who she also is kind of like, he's a little irritating to her, shows up to help. And so as they get closer to uncovering secrets of the fairies, things take a turn. I'm liking it so far. I'm not that far into it, but I'm really enjoying it. And the other book I'd like to recommend is The Curious World of Seahorses, The Lore and Life of a Marine Marvel by Till Hein. This is tra it's a little book. It's translated from the German book Crazy Horse from 2021. And there's a quote in the preface by Helen Scales, a British marine biologist. And when she saw a seahorse for the first time, she said, "Seeing one felt like glimpsing a unicorn trotting through my garden." And so this is a creature that I think most of us don't know that much about. We certainly know what one looks like. We all could probably draw one, more or less. But you know, it has this book has such interesting facts balanced with sort of lore. Like in medieval times, people thought seahorses were tiny dragons from distant lands, and they have. I learned that they have a body with a pouch like a kangaroo, and independently moving eyes like a chameleon, a long snout like an anteater, a prehensile tail like a monkey. They can change colors. They can be the size of your fingernail or like 14 inches long. So it's a. If you get excited about biology and creatures and things like that, I would highly recommend this book. And if the McCullough Library doesn't have it, you can certainly interlibrary loan the book because it is available out there in Vermont libraries. So, is there anything else you'd like to add, Jenny, before we wrap up this show today?
You know, I think that our biggest, oh, I didn't know that about the library that I get is, do I have to be a resident of North Bennington or Bennington or North Bennington to have a card here? And the answer is no. Our service area is three towns, so the village of North Bennington within the town of Bennington and Shaftesbury. But our service area, we don't have any residency fees or requirements because we have a number of folks who live just across the border in New York in those communities there, people who live in farther afield but work in Bennington or North Bennington and Massachusetts. So we're sort of in a tri-state area, and we have, so the answer is you can get a card with us. And
Wonderful.
it's a-okay. And I think that's the big, oh, I didn't know. So come see us and come enjoy what we have to offer.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jenny, for chatting with me today. And library friends, you can find out more about the John G. McCullough Library by visiting their website at mccullohlibrary.org or taking a drive and stopping in to say hi. Information about this episode, including all the books we talked about and how to get your favorite library on the show, will be in the show notes blog at wherethebooksarenow.com. Please visit us on our Facebook page to get more public library tidbits. That's all for today. Thank you for spending time with us, and please explore public libraries in person or virtually. You'll be surprised and delighted at what you find.